We're discussing in honor of the upcoming Yom Yerushalayim, Chof Chayas Iyer, ownership and rental of real estate in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim. So what's the issue? There are, Baruch Hashem, now as we say, Yerushalayim B'yadeinu, we're able to live in Yerushalayim again, and there are a lot of Jews who have purchased real estate, purchased apartments, homes in Yerushalayim. Not only those who live in Israel, but even non-residents, even the number of Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz own and also invest in a property in Yerushalayim. So what are the issues? What is there to be concerned about halakhically? Well, there are good things from a halakhic perspective in terms of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, in terms of settling the land. So I want to discuss a number of different points. One is there a higher and more exalted inyan of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael if you own real estate or you're living in Yerushalayim? A second is, what is the impact of the notion that the Gemara talks about in Yuma, Daf Yud Beis Siman Aleph, in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis, in Megillah, Daf Chavav, of the notion of Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim, unlike the rest of Eretz Yisrael, it belongs to everybody. It wasn't divided to a particular shevet. The idea is that it's Eina Shalahen, doesn't belong to anyone in particular. So there's that impact on the ability to have ownership of real property in Yerushalayim, or for that matter, to rent real property in Yerushalayim. One of the hashlachos, one of the ramifications of the din of Yerushalayim L'Yiskalka L'Shvatim, the Gemara tells us, is that Ein Maskirin Batim B'Yerushalayim. Can't rent out houses, can't rent out residences in Yerushalayim. So a number of the people, especially in Chutz La'aretz, who invest in real estate in Yerushalayim, they can't be there all the time. They're hoping that someday they'll move to Yerushalayim and then they'll live there. But in the meantime, they rent it out, so they'll be able to make some money. There are two different forms of rental that people perform. One is short-term rentals. If you have a good agent or manager in Yerushalayim who can constantly get you short-term rentals, you could usually make much more money through the constant short-term rentals. Not only that, but it also can work out better for the owners, because when they come to visit in Eretz Yisrael, they can decide they'll carve out that amount of time to stay there themselves. The other type of rental, which is a little bit easier to manage, but not quite as profitable, or not quite as potentially profitable, is to rent the real estate for long-term rentals. You rent an apartment out for 1 or 2 years at a time. The advantage is that it's steady income and you don't have to worry about constantly turning it over and finding new tenants. The disadvantage is that you don't make as much compared to if you would have a steady stream of short-term rentals. And also, if you come and visit Yerushalayim, say you want to go for the Yom Tov, you want to do the equivalent of Aliyah L'Regel B'Zman Hazeh, stay in the apartment. So if you've rented it out to somebody for 1-2 years, so then you don't have the ability to use the apartment as readily. So those are the two different types of rentals, and we'll see whether maybe one is better than the other. Do they both have the same issues? And the other issue to consider is, there a limitation? Let's say you're renting out the real estate. Do you only have to rent out to Jews? One of the halachas of Yerushalayim is Ein Moshim B'Socha Filu Ger Toshav, that you can't have anybody who's not Jewish in Yerushalayim. However, even if somebody's a Ger Toshav, usually there are greater leniencies with respect to a Ger Toshav. So how does that play out? And finally, this should be the first question, but it's kind of at the heart of many of these inquiries, is to the degree that we do have certain of these dinim that apply to Yerushalayim, that are relevant to those who own and invest in real estate in Yerushalayim, how do we define Yerushalayim? How do you define Yerushalayim? We're using Yerushalayim as if it's a defined term. When we talk about going up, you know, Yerushalayim, so we have all the hotels in Yerushalayim, we have all kinds of places, restaurants in Yerushalayim, but it's not all what we would call Ir HaTikah. It's not all the old city. Maybe when we talk about the halakos that pertain to Yerushalayim, maybe they really are only applicable to what we would call Yerushalayim Bein HaChomos, ancient Yerushalayim, the Ir HaTikah. Maybe it doesn't apply to what is sometimes referred to as Yerushalayim HaChadashah. So first, in terms of just owning and buying a place in Eretz Yisrael, if you're not going to live in it all the time, so the Gemara in Gittin indicates there might be an inyan. The Gemara in Gittin, Chan Ches Amud Bey, says that you can have a real estate deed drawn up even on Shabbos. If it's done by a non-Jew, we would allow a Mila La'akum, even though normally we don't allow a Mila La'akum on Shabbos, particularly if it's going to be a Malacha D'Oraisa, but we would allow Amira La'akum, question what kind of ksav, but we allow Mivla Akam for purposes of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says, why? What's the inyan? The Gari Shov the Kokavim Leishiv Yisrael Ba. That there's an inyan of just having the land in Jewish hands. That you just have an apartment there. That itself would seem to be an inyan. So it seems even for the Bnei Chutz La'aretz, there's some sort of an inyan. Might not be on the same exalted level of living there constantly yourself. You know, the Magen Avraham talks about the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and just walking and visiting Eretz Yisrael, but somebody who's there all the time obviously has a higher level of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but there might be some level of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael here as well. The Ramban, in his Sagas in the Sefer Mitzvah, so the Rambam similarly writes that one of the Inyanim of Yerushas Eretz Yisrael, the Mitzvah of Yerushas Eretz Yisrael, is Shalona Azver Biyad Zulasam Ha'umot, that we should not leave the land of Eretz Yisrael in the hands of other nations. We should take it for ourselves. You have the opportunity to take a home that would otherwise go to those who are not Jewish and to have a greater amount of settlement of the land. So that's considered to be certainly a major inyan. Shlomo Aviner. There's a pamphlet which is called Iture Yerushalayim. So he writes based on this idea of the Ramban that talks about Eretz Yisrael in general. He says Zevadaim Tzavinu Ligol Kol Anmos Zevata Eretz Yisrael, that if there's a special inyan of redeeming all of the lands and homes in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Shekein Lev Eretz Yisrael. So all the more so if it's the heart of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Habnuyah Ki Yirsh Shechuv Ala Yachdav. You're talking about the heart of Eretz Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Shloni Schalka L'Shvatim, Kechol Shelei Bari Kol Eivarim Bereim. If you have a healthy heart, so the rest of the body is all that much more healthier. So therefore he says that's certainly an inyan. And he brings a quotation from Avraham Soloveitchik. I don't know exactly where the quotation is from, but he says that when Avraham Soloveitchik was asked, what would he do? Was Avraham Soloveitchik Satzal, who taught in our yeshiva. So he was asked, what would he do with $100 million? If somebody, a big donor, gave him $100 million to give out to Torah institutions, where would he devote the money if he had the ability to decide? So Heshev, Levinyan Yerushalayim Bein Achomos. He said, I would give the money to Yerushalayim. He said, Yerushalayim Bein Achomos. He said, I would give that money to build up Yerushalayim, the old city. I would build it up in terms of the old city. However, the Tzitz Eliezer, he speaks about the notion of living in Yerushalayim. So Tzitz Eliezer says, "Hinei bevade bevade sheyeshno inyan gadol v'adipus rabba," that for sure there is a major inyan and a major preference and advantage. Lagor sham biYerushalayim hachadasha. Even if you're talking about the expanded borders of Yerushalayim, we call New Yerushalayim, me'al yeser ariyar. It's more than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Why? So he uses the same lashon as Rav Aviner, but he applies it to the greater Yerushalayim. Bashir he ki'ir shechuba lo yachdav samuch v'niret the paltirin shamel. Because it's samuch, it's near, and it's visible. You can see from it to the paltirin shamel, to the palace of Yerushalayim ha'atika. So therefore, it's all included on some level. The terminology of a samuch v'nira, of course, is borrowed from the Gemara in Megillah that talks about that when it comes to defining Yerushalayim in terms of reading the Megillah on Shushan Purim, there's a special din that for the Bnei Krachim, if it's a samuch v'nira, that even if you're not in the krach itself, but you're nearby, you can see it, so that also counts. So this idea of samuch v'nira, everybody seems to agree that we would apply this samach v'nira inyan with respect to Kriyas HaMegillah to include Yerushalayim HaChadasha, that it would include pretty much all of Yerushalayim. There were some dissenters. Rav Yechiel Michal Tukchinsky notably was of the opinion, this is quoted in the Modim Bahalacha of Rav Zevin, so he was of the opinion that we do not extend beyond one meal, 1 kilometer or so from the Yer Atika. We don't embrace the entire Yerushalayim HaChadasha in terms of the din that you would read on the 15th day of Adar, but nobody else really seems to go along with that particular limitation. So at least with respect to Kriyas HaMegillah, the general minhag is to include the entire Yerushalayim HaChadasha. So Tzitz Eliezer says, even in terms of this special inyan of living in Yerushalayim, even more so than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, there would be this extra special inyan of samach v'nira lepaltem in shalmelech of living in Yerushalayim HaChadasha, that there would be some special preference in that regard.
It's a host that it's more That's better than the Yer HaTikah?
No, better than, not better than the Yer HaTikah.
He says
better than the other Arim, than the, any other cities. No, he says, Me'al Yester Ari Ha'aretz, but obviously, no, he's extending.
He's saying that
even when he's speaking about Yerushalayim HaChadasha, the question is, for sure, Yerushalayim HaAtikah is in Yerushalayim, and that's like the greatest of the places where a person could live. But his question is, he's addressing Yerushalayim HaChadasha, and he's asking, does this even extend to Yerushalayim HaChadasha? So he says, there's an inyan to apply this even to Yerushalayim HaChadasha. And there's a question with respect to other dinim as well. So Rav Yaakov Eliezeruf, in the Piskei Din Rabbanim, Chelek Yud Dalet, starting with page 205, in the Psak Din over there, he says that with respect to the din of Hakol Malam Yerushalayim, that we know that a husband can compel a wife, and according to the din of the Gemara, the Enek Suvah, so the wife could also compel the husband to move to Yerushalayim, can move from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, to move from some other city in Eretz Yisrael, even to Yerushalayim. And if the husband refuses, the wife can command the man for Suvah. If the husband wants to go and the wife refuses, he can give her a get and not have to worry about the Suvah. So the question was posed, does this apply even to Yerushalayim HaChadasha? So Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer says it applies even to Yerushalayim HaChadasha based on the Pasuk in Zechariah, Prozos Teshev Yerushalayim. It's in Perek Beis of Zechariah, indicating that the Nevuah already forecasts that Yerushalayim is going to be expanded. But he says that as far as to extend it to Kafiyah Mamish, if we're going to extend it to Kafiyah Mamish, so then he says he's not 100% sure that we would say that the husband can really be kofer his wife to move to Yerushalayim, even in terms of forcing her to receive a get and to end the marriage. So in the end, he doesn't rely upon this svara, but he does mention all this particular svara. The Radvaz says that Yitachein. The Radvaz writes that he thinks that it is possible. That all of the dinim that are mentioned in the Gemara that characterize Yerushalayim, that it's very possible that all of those chumras, and these include the chumra of Ein Maskim and Batim B'Yerushalayim, of not renting out real estate in Yerushalayim, says it's perfectly possible that this would apply B'chol Tchum Yerushalayim. He's not convinced that we would restrict it to the Yer HaAtika. However, for one possible one possible source of relief for those who have a home in Yerushalayim HaChadasha and are worried as to whether really they're going to be restricted in terms of dinim that apply to Yerushalayim is a comment made by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in a letter that he wrote. Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote, Yerushalayim HaMekudeshes HaShoneh B'Habei Halachas B'Kol Eretz HaKedosha Hi Rak Yerushalayim HaTika. Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that when it comes to the special halachas that only applies to Yerushalayim HaTikah, prat l'chelek katan me'atzion sheyesh lav safek, a little area where there's a safek, but otherwise when we're talking about the main area of the New Jerusalem today, would not be subject to the halachas of Yerushalayim. Mekom asher michutz l'choma, anything outside of the walled city, rak nikra b'shem Yerushalayim. It's just called Yerushalayim. And l'inyan k'siva shem gittin k'suva s'kadayim. If you want to know what to write in a get or a k'suva, but as far as other halakhas, well, ain't so Yerushalayim. Not considered to be Yerushalayim. You know, and he says, obviously, the case of Shushan Purim reading the Megillah is different based on the din of Samach Venera. So now that we've established, at least, that there are those who, there is some sort of suffix with respect to even Yerushalayim HaChadasha, with respect to these dinim, so let's focus on where the special dinim come from. So many of the special dinim, there are 10 special dinim that the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis talks about in connection with Yerushalayim, and many of them relate to this notion that we discussed earlier of Yerushalayim L'Nizkalku L'Shvatim. So what does it mean, Yerushalayim L'Nizkalku L'Shvatim? It means when the rest of Eretz Yisrael was divided, it was divided to specific tribes, and Yerushalayim, you could say on some metaphysical level that we say that Yerushalayim HaBniyah Ki'ir Shechuba La Yachdav, that it's the Gemara says everybody has an equal footing when it comes to Yerushalayim. So that could be sort of the metaphor, because it says physical understanding. The Gemara actually has this as a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that just like the rest of Eretz Yisrael is divided into Shvatim, so is Yerushalayim. We find, in fact, in various references of Yerushalayim, portions of Yerushalayim going to Yehuda, others to Binyamin. So it sounds like this also was divided to the Shvatim. And comes along the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, no, Yerushalayim is Chakal Shvatim. What's a specific nafkamina? Whether you can have Negat Saras in Yerushalayim. In the bottom of Yerushalayim, could you have Negat Saras? Because the pasuk says, "When Asati Negat Saras Beveis Eretz Achuz Aschem," says that Negat Saras only applies to the portions of your inheritance. Achuz Aschem. So if Yerushalayim is not inherited by anybody in particular, so say the Chachamim, on that basis, there is no Negat Saras in Yerushalayim. The Rambam paskins that way in Hilchos Tumas Saras, that there's no Negat Saras. The Smag also holds that way. There's no Negat Saras with respect to Yerushalayim. It seems to be a direct outgrowth of this notion of Yerushalayim when it's Chakal Shvatim. Similarly, you don't bring an Egla Rufa with respect to a Cholol near Yerushalayim, because it says, Ki Matzei Cholol Ba'adamash Yerushem El-Kekon O'Sein Lach L'Rishtah. It has to be L'Rishtah. And similarly, Yerushalayim can't be made according to the Chachamim into an Ir Nidachas, because it says, Ki Sishma Be'achas Arecha, that the Ir Nidachas has to be one of the cities that is Arecha. It's a particular to a specific Shevet, and since that's not true of Yerushalayim, therefore there is no din of Yerani Dachas with respect to Yerushalayim. But perhaps the most significant for our purposes is this din of a maskirim batim Yerushalayim, number one, that you can't rent out batim Yerushalayim. And then there's another din that Gemara Baba Kama mentions that also requires some examination. What does it mean? And that is ein habayis chalutba, that there's no chaluta sabayis Yerushalayim. What does that mean? Does that mean nobody can, we're talking about rental? But if you can't rent it because it doesn't belong to anybody, maybe you can't own it either. So maybe ain't a bias chalupa means that nobody can really have ownership. You can't really buy or sell. Real estate in Yerushalayim, what does it mean? If you can't rent, maybe you can't buy or sell either. So that's the question as to whether what ain't a bias chalupa means altogether. Now, the Gemara does say that Rabbi Yehuda comes around to the sheet of the Chachamim when it comes to the base of Mikdash, that Makom Mikudash would not be subject to Tumas Tzaras. What's the reason for that? Rashi says, based on the Gemara in Zvachim Daft Kufta Tez Zayin on the base, that David HaMelech collected money from all of the Shvatim with respect to the base HaMikdash, but in order to acquire the Gorin, right, there was the threshing floor of Arona Yebusi, that was the place there in the base HaMikdash was built, and since he, even though it was originally given out to specific Shvatim, since the money was ultimately collected, he drew up a collection from all of the Shvatim, so therefore that placed the Beis HaMikdash itself on equal ground. But otherwise, with respect to the rest of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yehuda continues to disagree. Tosfos says that the Beis HaMikdash, whoever had a portion of the Beis HaMikdash, say Binyamin, that it was exchanged, or whatever, this is based on a Sifri, that he was given Doshna Shal Yericho instead. The Shevet of Binyamin was given Doshna Shal Yericho, the fat of Yericho, in return for giving up the Yerushalayim to everybody, so therefore, in return for giving up the Beis HaMikdash to everybody, so at least the Beis HaMikdash, there seems to be some general agreement, at least in terms of what happened at the end of the day. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, at the very least, the base, it appears that Yerushalayim was originally designated for Shvatim, and according to the Chshitas Chachamim, Yerushalayim was not designated towards any particular Shvatim. The Kedusha Egris with Elvel Soloveitchik and Hilchos Beis Avachira says that the Machlokis is based on how do you reconcile two different psukim that appear to be contradictory in Pashas Re'eh. One pasuk says, one pasuk indicates that Yerushalayim is mikol shivtechem, belongs to everybody. Another pasuk about Tem Sukim Lein in Pashas Rei Perak Yud-Bei says, "Ikim b'makom asher yichar Hashem be'achad shivatecha, sham taleh olosecha." Seems to indicate that Yerushalayim is going to be be'achad shivatecha, that it's going to be specifically designated to a shevet, that it's not something which belongs to everybody. So the Sifri gives two different answers. One answer is that HaKesef Mikol HaShvatim, yeah, the money that was used to pay for it came from all of the Shvatim. Question is to pay for what? Maybe just to pay for the Beis HaMikdash, right? And HaKesef Mikol HaShvatim, Beis HaBechira Mishevet Echad, the Beis HaBechira is Mishevet Echad. So you can say that what this means is that really it started off Mishevet Echad, but the Kesef was gathered from all of the Shvatim. So that's going like Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Chachamim, then the second Teretz of the Sifri is that when we say Bechad Shvatecha, that's a reference to Zesh Shiloh, and when it says Mikol Shiftechem, that's a reference to Yerushalayim, indicating what was it that belonged to a particular Shevet, that Shiloh. But Yerushalayim was always Mikol Shiftechem. It's always Mikol Shiftechem, not just the Kesef. It started out Mikol Shiftechem. So says Soloveitchik, the Briscoe Rav, Rebbe of Soloveitchik, says that this is the second answer, that Mikol Shiftechem is a reference to Yerushalayim, Bechad Shvatech is a reference to Shiloh. That's going like the Shitas Chacham. So the Machlokas is, which answer of the Sifri do you hold like? So there's one very important other practical application in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is the way in which the Mizbech was built. Because the Gemara in Zvachim indicates that the Kerem Mizrach is the Deromis, that the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach did not have a Yesod. And why didn't it have a Yesod? Because the Mizbeach was supposed to be in the portion of Binyamin. How do we know that? Because it says, B'boka Yochel Ad, and the Targum is, V'achsante Tisbani Midbacha, that the Mizbeach, as Rashi quotes this Targum in Zvachim Dafa Nun Gimel, that the Mizbeach was supposed to be exclusively in the portion of Binyamin, and Yehuda had some sort of a chelik in the Beis HaMikdash too, in terms of Lishkas HaGazis, in terms of, you know, where the Sanhedrin was situated. There was certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash were in the portion of Yehuda. It was two different Shvatim that had an inheritance, both Yehuda and Binyamin. So the Gemara indicates that this idea that the Mizbeach, since the Mizbeach had to be entirely in the portion of Binyamin, they had to do some gerrymandering in order for, you know, this one little Amma that was otherwise in the portion of Yehuda on the southeast side had to not have a Yesod, because no portion of the Mizbeach could be built in Yehuda's area. It could have to be exclusively in Binyamin's area. Binyamin was very upset that this one Amma was not in his area. He wanted that extra one Amma very, very badly. He says that he was mitzdayer, that Benjamin had a lot of chofef alav kol hayom. He would hover over that area all the time. He really wanted that little area, and therefore he was zocher that the Beis HaMikdash is in his portion, that because he really wanted the Shechina to be so much in his area, so passionately, the Rotzeh Lebala, he wanted to swallow it up, he wanted to be notelet, he wanted to take it. But the Gemara indicates that it's harba hatalia, that this notion of this portion of Mizbeach having to not have a Yesod was dependent on Yerushalayim Nischalka L'Shvatim, Yerushalayim being divided to the Shvatim, and that's why it had to be the case that the southeast quarter did not have a Yesod, because the entire Mizbeach had to be in Binyamin's area as opposed to Yehuda's area. So the problem is that there seems to be a contradiction. Because if you look at the Rambam in Behilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Zayin Halacha Yudalid paskins like all of the limitations that the Gemara Baba Kama talks about, assuming that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, so there are certain halakos that would follow, and Rambam paskins like all of those halakos, that there's no neged zaras in all Yerushalayim, there's no neged aruf in Yerushalayim, there's no irinidakas in Yerushalayim, and a maskivim batim besocha, that you cannot rent out homes, you cannot rent out apartments, right? In Yerushalayim, according to the Rambam. Yet at the same time, in Perek Beis HaVilchos Beis HaBechira, when the Rambam is describing the contours of the Mizbeach, he indicates that the Keren Deromis Mizrachis did not have a Yesod. So that would seem to go along with the opinion that it couldn't have a Yesod because the Beis HaMikdash was in the portion of Binyamin and Yehuda. So the truth is that Tosfos in Maseches Yuma, Daf Yud Beis, already addresses this issue, because Tosfos says, here in Yuma, we seem to say that the notion of the gerrymandering of the Mizbeach depends upon if you're holding Yerushalayim Nischalka L'Shvatim, and yet we don't find anybody disagreeing in the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Nun Gimel, when the Gemara talks about how this portion of the Mizbeach did not have a Yesod. It doesn't, you know, seem to indicate that it would only be going according to one man to Amos. So Tosfos says, the truth of the matter is, even if you hold that Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, that there was a special Kabbalah, call it Halacha, you know, Moshe Misinai, whatever, this was the way it had to be. There was a Kabbalah that the Mizbeach was not supposed to have a Yesod, the Bekeren Dromis Mizrachis, independent of whether or not Yerushalayim is Kabbalah, what is Nischak L'Shvatim. The problem is that the Kesef Mishnah, in explaining the Rambam, who says that the Keren Mizrachis, the Dromis Mizrachis, didn't have a Yesod, says the reason is because they had to be in Chelek Binyamin. So if that's the case, how do you explain it? You have to be a chaylik b'yamini. At the same time, the Rambam seems to hold, ein maskivim batim b'yushalayim, seems to hold that Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvatim. So how do you reconcile this? So some say, well, just like within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, he draws a distinction between Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash to say, well, originally everything belonged to specific Shvatim, but then in the end, the Kesef was gathered from all of the Shvatim in order to make Beis HaMikdash kind of like a land for a territory for everybody. So the Chachamim kind of go the other way around. The Chachamim say that most of Yerushalayim is considered to be lo nischalka l'shvatim, but the Beis HaMikdash, that is nischalka l'shvatim. That was remained specifically in the territory of Yehuda and Binyamin, and that would be the reconciliation. That somehow only the rest of Yerushalayim, other than the Beis HaMikdash, is subject to the laws of lo nischalka l'shvatim. That appears to be difficult because we don't find that distinction in the Gemara. So other answers that are given, the Chazon Ish in his Chiddush in the Maseches Yuma Simkov Chavav, he asks the question sort of independent of the Rambam. The Chazon Ish says, how could you say Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, which we seem to assume is the halacha, the Yerushalayim is like the Chacham and Eged Rabbi Yehuda, but how can you assume Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim when there are so many psukim in Sefer Yehoshua, he brings a pasuk into Tehillim as well, that indicates that when the land was inhabited, when it was conquered, it says, and Yehuda took, you know, this of Yerushalayim, and Binyamin took this, it indicates that Yehuda and Binyamin took Yerushalayim. There are psukim that indicate as much. I'm sorry?
It seems
from Nach that Yerushalayim went to Yehuda and Binyamin. So he says, he draws the following distinction. He says, yeah, they had a king and a goof. They had a king and a goof, but there's a special law of Yerushalayim Nischalka L'shvatim, meaning the Gabi Zchus Shimush Ha'ir, that when it comes to the right to use all of the amenities of Yerushalayim, so everybody has the rights to use the amenities of Yerushalayim. Really, it belongs to Yehuda and Binyamin. But we don't care in terms of these dinim, because these dinim have to do with everybody's zchus to be able to utilize the year. So when it comes, for example, to Emes Kim Batim Yerushalayim, it means everybody has an equal zchus to use of the real estate. And Rav Shechter, Mashlita, quotes of, he says, Kimenduma, that he heard this from Rav Soloveitchik. Somebody just wrote a book of Rav Shechter on Parsha, Dr. Alan Weissman, wrote a wonderful book. So he also has a Dvar Torah about this. So he says, it came from the Soloveitchik family, maybe it came from Chaim Soloveitchik, came from somebody. This idea that we distinguish between a king and a mamon and king and Nisav Eter. He says, with respect to king and Nisav Eter, so then for sure Yerushalayim belongs to Yehuda and Binyamin. When it comes to king and mamon, and all these dinim presumably are subject to king and mammon. When it comes to king and mammon, the mammon is the Yerushalayim, so the Yerushalayim belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. When it comes to the mammon, the Yerushalayim belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, be it as it may, once I say I reconcile this particular contradiction as to how I deal with the gerrymandering of the Mizbeach on the one hand, and Yerushalayim l'nischalka l'shvatim on the other hand, but I do say that the laws of Yerushalayim l'nischalka l'shvatim are applicable in Dinei Mamonos, and therefore Emaskim Batim Yerushalayim, so then I'm back to our original problem. Which is, I'm sorry?
This is not what we're talking about.
Well, let's talk. Okay, what do people who own real estate in Yerushalayim, what do they do? Given that the Rambam, it's true, it doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Smag in a couple of places indicates that he paskins Yerushalayim l'nischalka l'shvatim, so it would seem that this is a muskan bein hasfaradim bein ashkenazim. What do you do with the fact that the Rambam clearly paskins, this appears to be clearly the psak hamuskam, that Yerushalayim l'nischalka l'shvatim, and therefore it follows, ein maskirim batim be Yerushalayim. So you could take the approach to say, oh, so maybe it only applies to Ir Atika. But as we mentioned, the Radvaz says that he thinks that with respect to the din of Ein Maskim Batim Yerushalayim, that would apply Bechol Tkum Yerushalayim. Seems that he's extending it very, very far. Not only that, but the Tzitz Eliezer says something very, very interesting. The Tzitz Eliezer says that he thinks that it's not really so clear. It's not really so clear exactly how far the boundaries may have extended with respect to Yerushalayim altogether. And he says, who says that when we speak about Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim really means only the Ir Atika? He says, Gam lo barur ad heichan higiu agvulos asher Yerushalayim niskatsha ulegamin lo muchlot. Says, who says that the borders necessarily end exactly where the walls come to an end? The walls, you know, might be a sort of a convenient way of being able to describe Yerushalayim, but it's not necessarily the case that the walls are a definitive determinant of exactly where the Kedusha of Yerushalayim comes to an end. So therefore he says, because there is confusion about it, it's not so pashut that we know exactly where to draw the line. So there are two problems, therefore, with respect to saying that it only applies to Eir Atika. One, that we seem to have a number of shitos, including the Suffolk of the Tzitz Eliezer, including this comment of Rav Yaakov Eliezer, that based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Prazos Teishev Yerushalayim, in terms of the Radvaz, who also thought that maybe the Dinim should apply B'chol Tzkum Yerushalayim. On the one hand, you have a Shlomo Zalman Orbach on the other hand, who says, no, that the special dinim in Yerushalayim only apply to Eir Atika, but it's a suffix, so maybe you say suffix mamon lekula, somebody reads in Yerushalayim, so mosi mechaveiro lavaraya, maybe you can't really exact money from him. The second problem is, let's say that the real estate that the person owns is in the Eir Atika. If the real estate is in Eir Atika, so this solution isn't going to help you much if you want to rent out your home, your apartment that you bought in the Eir Atika. I'm not getting to the issue about Gagid Malio Sloni Skachu, the Tzitz Eliezer deals with that, the Modim Uzmanim, Moshe Sternbach deals with it as well. It seems that there is room to say that din of Gagim Aliyah Sloni Skachu might not apply Halach Lamaisa. There is an Amora who says otherwise, but it might not apply Halach Lamaisa Yushalayim, might only apply to the Azara. And even if it applied to Yerushalayim, it might only apply to those Gagin and Aliyos that were in existence at the time of the Kedusha Sazara, not the Gagin and Aliyos that were built afterwards. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. So we're going to assume that whatever dinim are applicable are applicable even to the higher stories of the apartment buildings as well. So a second approach, I would say. There are three more sort of mainstream approaches that can be followed, and I'm going to give you a mechudashtik, a fourth approach. Okay? So, Rav Zilberstein, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, Shlita, has an article in Kol Torah in which he talks about this very issue, where somebody had rented an apartment in Eir Atika. He gets all the fun questions. Somebody had rented an apartment in Eir Atika, and then they didn't want to pay the landlord for it afterwards. Because he said, "Ei maskimim batim Yerushalayim." What are you talking about? You can't charge me rent. So he says. So he points out that Mari Korkus on the Rambam in the Kos Beis of Bechir Perek Zayin Malach Yudal already asked this question because he said already in his day people owned real estate in Yerushalayim and they were renting it out for money. So he says, "So what's the basis for this?" So one possible basis is that there's a Rashi in Megillah and Daf Kofam and Aleph that talks about the halach of ei maskimim batim Yerushalayim. And he says, "She'em askivim bali batim espatehem la'ole regalim ela bechinam nosin lem niknas le'sochan." He says this is a special din of ole regalim. The ole regalim would come in, so then you wouldn't be allowed to rent out the property to them. In fact, the Gemara in Yuma says that the landlords would be sort of frustrated because they couldn't rent out the apartments to the ole regalim, so they would grab the oves kachim. When the people would come back, they would bring their kabanos and they would have the skins from the kabanos. So they would grab the skins of the kabanos and they would keep the skins of the kabanos themselves. So it seems like they were allowed to grab something for themselves. They just couldn't charge rent. Very, very interesting, right? So he appears from Rashi, this is only a din of ole regalim, and therefore, that would presumably not be applicable, bisman hazeh, that we don't have aliyah l'regel. So the two problems... It's only for the Yom Tovim. The rest of the year you're allowed to charge, just for the Yom Tovim.
They come for the Yom Tovim, most of the people.
Okay, so one problem with this is that, do we have aliyah l'regel, bisman hazeh? So in other words, when people make a pilgrimage, Yerushalayim, bisman hazeh, for the three regalim, because there are people who come up, you know, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, so all three, they come up to Yerushalayim and they may rent out apartments. So do we say, or hotel rooms for that matter, right? Okay, also apartments at some level. So do we say that there is a mitzvah, that there's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel B'Zman HaZeh? So Tash Beitz in Chela Gimel Siman Reisha Aleph says that there is an inyan of Aliyah L'Regel even B'Zman HaZeh. But it could be it's only an inyan, but it's not a mitzvah. So maybe the halach only applies when there's a mitzvah, Aliyah L'Regel. One very interesting thing that the Tash Beitz says is that you know that there was these nisim that we talk about that applied, that they would occur in Yerushalayim, right? The Pirkei Avos talks about the nisim. One of the nisim that occurred with respect to Beis HaMikdash is that Lo Amar Adam Tzali Yamakom Yerushalayim. Then we said, there's no room for me to be able to stand in Yerushalayim. So he said that even Bismano, even in his day, this miracle was still in existence. No matter how many people would come to do a Aliyah L'Regel, there was always plenty of room for everybody. So it seems Tashbetz is indicating that there might be something, you know, Valila Rego Bismanese. So something, you know, Valila Rego Bismanese. It's not Pashut that this has gone away just because we don't have a base Mikdash. So that's one issue. And of course, as you pointed out correctly, that's the prime season. It's prime real estate season of being able to rent it out. It's Dafka the Rego. That's when you make the big bucks to rent it out. So it seems like that's Dafka the most problematic. It's a time. You get out of the problem if you say it's only Bisman Abayas, but if it's Bisman Azeh, you don't get out of it. The second problem with this solution is that if you look in the Rambam's formulation, there's no indication in the Rambam that he's restricting the din of Emaskim Batim Yishlaim only to Zman HaRegel. He doesn't say Emaskim Batim Yishlaim Bisman HaRegel. And even the Chazon Ish, in his discussion of it as well, seems to indicate Emaskim Batim Yishlaim is a din of Schus Mamun, that everybody in all of Klai Yisrael, all the Shvatim have the Schus Shimush of Yerushalayim, and he doesn't say this Schus Shimush is only applicable Bizman HaRegel. This has to do with the Chalukas Haaretz. The Chalukas Haaretz was such that everybody was given a Schus Shimush. You know, or to use the Ravsa formulation, right, that everybody was given a Kinyan Mamon. They were given that Kinyan Mamon for the entire year. So how could you say, no, that Kinyan Mamon only applies during the time of the Regel and doesn't apply the rest of the year? So those are the problems with that particular solution. Second answer that the Maria Korkas gives is that he was talking about in his day. He said, Bizman HaZeh She'aretz Biyad HaGoyim. Said, nowadays, that the land, we don't have control, we don't have shlita of the land. The land is controlled by whatever government at the time was in, whatever kingdom was sovereigns, whether it was the sovereign state of Yerushalayim. So he said, so we can't practically apply this then, because kayam la'alos kala goyim. Because whoever is purchasing the real estate has to buy the land from the goyim in the first place, so he has to be able to recoup. So once he's already having to spend all this money to have to pay the money to the goyim, so he has a right to charge others because there's no halacha. When we say emaskim batim yishlayim, assumes the Mari Korkas, there's no halacha that you have to lose out. So if a person invests a lot of money, they have the right to recoup their investment. It just means that you can't have a profit margin. That's what he assumes. I mean, one obvious problem with this answer is, where does it say that? Where is the distinction between revach and hefsed? So you could say, well, no, maybe that's the idea of why it was permissible, according to the Gemara and Yuma, for the innkeepers or for the landlords to grab the Oves Kachin, because it was always the intention that they shouldn't lose out. That's why that was mutter to take the Oves Kachin, because a person has the right to say, okay, I'm not going to profit, but I shouldn't have to lose. So what are the problems with this answer? So besides the problem that it's not mukhwa from, you know, you could say, okay, you have a little bit of a riot from the Oves Kachin, but beyond that, you have the following problems. Number one, Yerushalayim, Biyadenu. This is what we're celebrating, Yom Yerushalayim. We celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is back in our hands. So you don't have to pay off the goyim, right? You know, maybe it depends on whether the UN agrees that Yerushalayim is Biyadenu. Maybe this is it. We could say, the UN, if you hold it, you had a problem on the Shlosh Shavuos, I'm getting to dangerous territory over here. And then the UN said, no, it's okay, you can go and you can go take back the land. So maybe it depends on whether they say, oh, Yerushalayim really belongs to you as well, or whether, if that matter is still up in dispute, so maybe you still have the svara of the Mari Korkas. Rav Shaul Yisraeli apparently was of the opinion, no. Once they said, if you say that our ability to own the land, we always own the land, but our ability to go back to the land was dependent upon the UN. But once they gave it to us, so we became like any other sovereign nation, anything that we would conquer afterwards automatically is in our hands. So Pashto says, Yerushalayim Biyadenu. So once Yerushalayim is Biyadenu, so it seems much more difficult to rely upon the Svara. So Rav Zilberstein says, no, that it's not dependent necessarily upon the land being owned by the goyim per se. It means if you had to pay money in order to get the property in the first place. That's what the Mari Korkas was getting at. So he says that these properties have in our hands, so it could be that you had some Arabs who lived there and we had to pay off the Arabs. It could be that the land was left Hefker and a person just took it. So if a person just took it from Hefker, then in Akinami it would be a problem. Certainly in the Ir Atika, it would be a problem, he says, to rent out the real estate. You really would be subject, he assumes, to this din of Emaskir and Batim Yerushalayim, according to his essay. But if you actually pay money for it, then you're paying a mortgage payment every single month because you have to pay money for it. And if you wouldn't have bought it, but if you wouldn't have bought it, maybe some non-Jewish person would have bought it. So it still is Miyad HaGoyim in that particular sense. So he says, so therefore, since you had to put money down for it and you're still paying your mortgage payments, so then if you have to recover your investment, so he thinks on that basis, based on this, Mari Korkas, that would be justifiable. The problems with this answer are, number one, if the person didn't make an investment, or they paid off their investment already, right? Or they received it as a Yerusha, or they received it as a Matana. They got married and their in-laws gave them the apartment, right? That's the Chiyuv. The in-laws have to give them the apartment, right?
So,
okay, the in-laws problem. Okay, but he says, but the people who moved in there, who didn't pay any money for it, so maybe they have no right to, maybe if they're going to charge money and give it to their in-laws, that's a different story. But if they're not going to pay the money and give it to their in-laws, so then that's going to be a problem. If the in-laws don't want the money, so what right do they have to charge for the money? Secondly, from the Gemara, it would only appear that there was some sort of a right to take the Oros Kodshim, but in terms of taking actual schar, if you look at the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yelazar b'Rabbi Tzadok, who didn't even allow the people to take schar for the beds that they were renting out. So it's not so mukhwach that this would be permissible even to recoup a loss. And the third major problem is especially when you're talking about during the regel, so people who are renting out the apartments are often looking to not only recoup their loss, but to make a profit. So it seemed from this that even if one would have the right to rent out the real estate in Yerushalayim, however Yerushalayim is defined, it would only be insofar as they need to do so in order to recoup their losses in their investment, but not to make a profit. So if it's done during the regel time, you have two. You have talked to the Reusa. Number one, maybe it's still a Leah the regel on some level. And number two, maybe you're charging too much money. Yes. If so, Mistama, real estate taxes would also be included in not incurring a loss. Mistama? So a third mahalach is a mahalach of, question is, they have the right? They have the right to charge real estate taxes. Okay, a third mahalach is that of Elchanan Wasserman, which is similar to the first mahalach. This is in the Kovach Yir and Babakama Ostariyeh, also quoted by Rav Zilberstein. Who says that why shouldn't a person, if we say in maskim batim yishlaim, because the karka belongs to everybody, so why shouldn't you have the right to charge schar etzim bavanim? Just the actual binyan, the actual building. The building is not the karka, so why can't the person have the right to charge for the etzim bavanim? So he says that really, the only thing that's problematic is charging for the real estate. But if you're only charging for the Eitzim and Avanim, for the Binyan that is built above the real estate, so that really should be permissible. That really should be perfectly fine if you're not renting out the Karka itself. It's just that there was a Gzeira Miuchedis. It was a special Gzeira that during the time of Aliyah L'Regel, that they weren't allowed even to rent out the Eitzim Avanim. And that Gzeira only applied B'Shas HaRegel and not apply the rest of the year. So according to this, we can understand very well, Shitas Rashi makes more sense if you understand Rashi this way, because then we don't have to say that this din of Yishlaim L'Niskalko L'Shvatim was only a din of the regel. No, it was a din of the entire year. It's just that this gzeira that we extended beyond Karka to even Eitzim V'Avanim, so that gzeira was only extended during the time of Aliyah L'Regel. So here as well, you could say, okay, fine. So as long as it's not during the period of the regel itself, and maybe Bizman Azeh, there is no such thing as Aliyah the Regel. So then you would get out of the problem that way, as long as you're renting out the Eitzim Avanim and you're not renting out the real estate. Now, there's one other mahalak which is similar to this, and this gives us another possible perspective of the parameters of renting out real estate in Yerushalayim. That's from the Chasdei David. Who's the Chasdei David? Rav David Pardo. I think we have a smicha musmach by the same name. I don't know if he's a direct descendant of David Pardo. He was a rav. He was like a chief rabbi. He was an abesdin in Italy during the 18th century. He was a mechutan of the chida. He wrote a sefer l'shayos u'tshuvos called Miktam LeDavid, and he wrote also a commentary on the Tosefta called Chasdei David. Okay, so in his commentary to the Tosefta, he talks a lot about this issue in various places in the Tosefta. But in his commentary to Perek Vav of the Tosefta in Negaim, so he addresses this issue and he goes through all the ins and the outs. I'm sorry, what did you say before?
No, we're just getting a rub by David Pardo.
Oh, so that's the one talking about.
He's going to work for the OU.
This one worked for the JLI in Brandeis, I think.
Yeah.
So it could be he's a direct descendant. I don't remember if he's a direct descendant. Okay, but this is David Pardo. He lived in the 18th century. Tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. So he asked the question. Let's go back to one of the other questions we asked. We asked, what about owning altogether? How do you buy, sell, whatever? We say that there's no Yishlaim Lenin Skakal Shalter. How does that whole thing work? So he says, well, according to the Shita Mikubetsis, in the name of the Rama in Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis, you're right, it doesn't work. That's how he understands the din of Ein Bayis Chalupa B'Yushlaim. He understands to mean the Ein Bayis Chalupa, that there simply is no ownership whatsoever in Yerushalayim.
So he says, "Ein shelo nischalko l'shvatim, v'lo martzi laknuye l'dira." What do you know? You can't really buy real estate in Yerushalayim. That's what the Shita Mikvetzer says in the name of the Ramah. However, the Rashi doesn't understand that way. Rashi understands Eda Bayis Kalupa means, no, it's a special deal. Normally, if you sell a house in a walled city, we just had this in the Parshas HaShavua, right? That we read yesterday. Normally, if you sell Parshas Bahar, normally, if you sell a house in a walled city, you get to redeem it if you're the owner within 1 year, and after 1 year, so the Bayis Kalut. Then it goes to the ownership of the next person. So when it comes to Yerushalayim, then even after 1 year, the original owner can still redeem it. Totally, totally different deal. It appears that it's perfectly, according to Rashi's understanding of this din, it's perfectly possible to own real estate, to sell real estate, buy real estate. So he asked the question, I don't understand. If I can't rent real estate, then how in the world do I buy and sell real estate? You know, what's going on over here? So the Chasdei David is a very, very interesting approach. He says, essentially, like Rav Chana Wasserman, he says, well, he doesn't use the term Eitzim Avanim, he says, the binyan min hakako lamala is not a problem. The real estate itself doesn't belong to anybody. However, in terms of the houses that you build on top of the ground, so those houses can be bought and sold. That would be perfectly fine. If a person keeps it in perpetuity, if a person's able to keep it in perpetuity, so then it looks like you're buying and selling the karka itself, so that we don't allow. That's why we say that in a bayis chalupa, that we don't allow this new purchaser to be able to keep it lachalutin. So whoever sold it gets to redeem it even after 1 year. What does that mean about the person who originally sold it? He also doesn't have lachalutin. He doesn't go into exactly how that works. But that's his idea. But he says, really, me'ekar adin, minakaka l'mala is not a problem. So then he says, really, to be maskirit should have been perfectly fine as well. So then, if to be maskirit really should have been perfectly fine as well, so why is it that we don't allow it? So he says the most incredible thing. He says, the mistama, hatsrikan liskor, stands to reason that the people who needed to rent the real estate, hein orchim ha'olim l'Yerushalayim. They're visitors. They're coming up to Yerushalayim. What do you want from them? They're making a pilgrimage. They're being dorish Yerushalayim. They're coming up to do mitzvos. B'kol ha'olim l'Yerushalayim afilu b'shayim ha'sashana. You know, if they're just coming out, it's not only the Zman HaRegel. He says he doesn't like that distinction, right? Because it's not Mechok from the Gemara. He says, you know, it's not Zman HaRegel. You shouldn't be charging them rent. Why? Because Mishtam Lidvam Mitzvahim Bayim. They're coming to learn in Yeshiva for a few days. If they're not coming for the Yontiv, they're coming to learn. They're coming for the Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, walk around. Kigon Lahakiv Kobaneim. Okay, and they're telling the olden days to bring their Kobanos. Beinu Medin. It's not nice to charge rent. They're just going to be there a few days. You know, short-term rental. Pasnish, short-term rental. The mistama ain't showing the sham harbe. So, and therefore, but we have sof a karka shekol yisraelu, since the karka belongs to Yisrael, so we extend it to the binyan on top of the karka as well. So, however, he says, if it's somebody who's going to be there for a longer period of time, so there's nothing wrong with selling the binyan. It's just that for those people who are coming for short periods of time, it's pasnish to rent it to them. So it comes out, according to the Chasdei David, he doesn't extend it this far, but according to the Sfar of the Chasdei David, it comes out that if you are going to rent in Yerushalayim, a long-term rental is much better halakhically than a short-term rental. Because the short-term rental, you're preventing the people just coming for a few days and they want to do mitzvah, you're making it more difficult for them to keep the mitzvahs. But, right, exactly. But if it's a long-term rental, so then it's not this consideration. And the people just stop living there. So, you know, they'll do mitzvahs, but they'll also do other things besides mitzvahs. They're going to, you know, whatever. So they're just living there. So then it becomes less problematic in that particular sense. So it's very, very interesting. So it comes out, according to him, that you're better off going for the long-term rental approach than the short-term rental approach, based on his understanding of this inyan of emaskirim batim b'Yerushalayim, which brings us, interestingly enough, to the last point with respect to emaskirim b'sochah afilu ger toshav. This idea that even you look in Siman Kufin and Aleph in Yoredeya, that there are heterim. Certainly, if you look at the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, certainly heterim for renting out real estate to people who are not Jewish in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. You know, if you understand and apply, and there's a whole big discussion called Kores going back and forth about different things when it comes to this inyan, but you just look in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the halakha psuka. However, here we have a specific thing codified by the Rambam that when it comes to Yerushalayim itself, you can't have anybody in there. So what do we do with this particular din when you're looking for people to rent to? So it's a very, very important comment by Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog, you know, Yitzchak Isaac Alevi of Sukhtitzal, who was the first, I believe, Ashkenazic chief rabbi of Israel. So Rav Herzog wrote an article in the Chelik Beis, the second volume of Tuchumen, And in that article, the second volume of Tachumen, he says, you know, you could find various considerations as to why you would distinguish between Jews and non-Jews, B'nai B'ris and non-B'nai B'ris, when it comes to selling, renting real estate based on different mikvahs and so forth. He says, we can't engage in that because it looks like discrimination. And he says that it's very, very important. We have to understand that we're part of the international universe. And if there is any type of a sense of discrimination whatsoever, that could lead to Eva. And the Eva could lead to hostilities. And the hostilities could lead to what we call pikuach nefesh situations. And ain't over, oh, maybe if it ain't pikuach nefesh. So he says that this discussion is not a good and healthy discussion to have right now because you have pikuach nefesh considerations in terms of just the way the world is set up, which I think is a very reasonable and sensible perspective when it comes to these issues. But one thing that we do see from the Chasdei David is that there is an inyan, a sort of a positive dimension of emaskim batim b'Yerushalayim, that one should think to themselves, if they do have the opportunity to rent out their real estate, that they should think, am I facilitating the performance of mitzvos? Because a large part of what we're doing in terms of settling the land, settling Yerushalayim in particular, is the fulfillment, like what the Gemara talks about of Tzion in Megillah, excuse me, Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed, Tzion Ein Dorish La, right? Miklal Debaya Drisha, right? That the idea that we want to encourage our fellow B'nai Bris, Achenu Kabeis Yisrael, to come up to Yerushalayim and to engage in Yerushalayim and to remember Yerushalayim and to do mitzvos in Yerushalayim. So if the way that you're going to rent out your real estate is going to facilitate it, is going to encourage this, then matov u'manoim. So maskana d'milso. In terms of the rental, emaskim batim b'Yerushalayim, what are the justifications for rental b'zman hazeh, those people who have, you know, a home in Yerushalayim, and for sure, as we mentioned from the Tzitz Eliezer, that there is for sure a tremendous inyan of owning real estate in Yerushalayim, even in Yerushalayim HaChadashah, tremendous inyan. But what about in terms of the rental? So there are five different, you know, approaches of mitigation. One is that maybe it only applies to Yer Atika. If we take, you know, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and his letter, you know, at face value. So that's one consideration. Two, maybe it only applies Bizman HaRegel, Bizman Aliyah LaRegel, when the Beis HaMikdash was around and people could really fulfill Aliyah LaRegel properly. Three, maybe it applies only when the landlord is not going to incur any loss by virtue of not renting it out, but if they need to, the landlord needs to recoup his investment to be able to buy it and afford it and sustain it in the, altogether. So then there's a more of a heter according to one of the answers of the Marie Gorkus. Number four, maybe it's even if I say that there is an inyan of Aliyah LaRegel B'zman HaZeh, I can understand Rav Chanan Wasserman and say that the whole idea of extending Yishayim L'Nizkak L'Shvatim to Eitzim V'Avanim is only applicable B'zman HaRegel. Okay, so you could say, okay, so don't rent it out during B'zman HaRegel, right? And number five, that maybe if you there's a more of a heter, more of a basis to rent it out for a long-term rental rather than a short-term rental because it's mostly a problem. According to the Chasdei David, it's mostly a problem in terms of short-term rentals when you're preventing people who came from the shore for the short term to be able to do mitzvos, and you're making it more difficult for them to do mitzvos. But then, if you combine these things together, what you really want to find is as many of these mitigating features as possible. So if you're doing, for example, short-term rentals, bizman haregel, for a considerable profit in the year of Hatika, so then you probably have, you know, more of a problem and less of a justification, api halacha. I'll make a last comment, which is, you know, one question, just, you know, throw it out there in the air. I don't have an easy answer for it. Anybody who buys real estate anywhere in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, so question of what happens when Mashiach comes? What happens when Mashiach comes? You know, talking yourself and your Yishlaim here, we're thinking messianically, you know. So what happens when Mashiach comes? So do you have to divest, you know, that property because there'll be a new chalukah and maybe you're from Sheva Dan and the property is in Sheva Naphtali or something like that. So Gemara Baba Basra talks about how in the future all of Eretz Yisrael is going to be like Niskalik to everybody. So it's perfectly possible that if a person has property, you know, even where it wouldn't have been their Sheva beforehand, maybe it could come to them, you know, now. I don't know exactly what would happen. It's possible. But what about Yerushalayim? Say Yerushalayim, Niskalik, Lishvatim. So then you're kind of like out of luck. So you have a place right now, but you can't really, you know, own the karka, you know, in perpetuity. Therefore, says the Chasdei David, that even the binyan itself you can own for a period of time, but you can't own the binyan for perpetuity, and they give the 99-year leases, but I don't even know if that's still true, because I think that now the way they do the real estate is that it's not necessarily restricted to the 99 years. You have to check that out. It used to be you have the tabu, right, for 99 years. I think they may have changed that a little bit. But in any event, with respect to Yerushalayim, so there it seems like for sure there's gonna whatever people have they can't really have because Yerushalayim is Chaklis Shartha, we certainly can't have forever. But very, very interesting, the Yad Ramah in Baba Basa Kof Kobeis has a comment in which he says, Asida Yerushalayim Lischalik Liyubei Shvatim. When the Mashiach comes in Yerushalayim, at that point in time, there will be a chalukah at that point in time. So who knows? Who knows? If a person is buying a place in Yerushalayim right now, maybe they're investing in Yemos HaMashiach, maybe they could have this allocated to their particular shevet. You know, according to the Yad Ramah, when the time comes and everybody gets a certain portion of Yerushalayim, even though right now Yerushalayim is Chalkul Shvatim, but maybe it's an investment where it just makes sense since they're there anyway. This is what we call Hilkasa, the Mashicha, and, you know, Hashem, Yar, Enenu, Besor, Secha. So in the schus of our Drishas Yerushalayim, may we see Bivinyana, Uvisimchasa, She Yerushalayim, Mehera V'Yamenu, V'sishkan v'socha kashya dibarata u'bnei osa b'karo v'yamenu b'nyan olam amen.
Maybe the buying of the apartment will help you keep it.
Yeah.
Because somebody's got to live there.